You don't want to catch a second wind?
Yes. Hey there, my friends. This is Andy.
And his sidekick.
And my sidekick, Hedia Falco, Miramati, or Miramati Falco, or just Hedia Falco.
There you go.
One of these days, we're going to sort that out. How are you?
I am fantastic. And you?
I don't know. It seems like this day has lasted forever. Doesn't it?
A little bit.
It's kind of strange. I don't know what's going on today, but I'm glad we're here with you so that we can read this devotional. Looking forward to it. It's called A Life Ministry with Smith Wigglesworth. You know, I hope by the end of the year I can say Smith Wiggle.
Wiggle, wiggle. It reminds us of the Wiggles. So it makes it jiggle.
Yes. Your hair is so long, Hedia.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm not cutting it anymore like a little kid.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, I just trim it very little.
Awesome.
Nice to see you, Daniel.
We're going to talk a little bit about our service today with Jack Hibbs bit later on. But we're going to, hey, Carol, nice to see you. So much going on.
We haven't seen Carol in a while.
I know. We've all been busy doing our conservative Christian thing.
Oh, wow.
Going places, visiting. I'm assuming we've all been really busy. But we're going to get right into Smith Wigglesworth.
It's okay.
I don't know why I can't say it. I'm gonna figure it out how to do it. Oh, you know what I didn't do? I'm all thrown off. You notice we keep switching spots. I know it's probably we're trying to get this all worked out, and we need to go to livingfearlessdevotional.com. At some point, we're gonna have our sound worked out. We're on a single mic again. I don't know. Stuff's happening. It's the devil. You gotta blame it on the devil. It's not my fault.
Can't be.
Working,
you're trying.
He's working against us, but we're gonna push through. We're not gonna allow that to happen. But go to livingfearlessdevotional.com. That's where you go to the audio podcast on Apple Podcasts, where you are going to subscribe and give it 5 stars and tell people how great God is, and then you can listen to it on whatever platform you want to, Spotify, iHeartRadio. All right, so go there. One more comment. Let's see, Carol. Busy is good. Yes, it is. It's better than sitting around with your.
Doing nothing.
Thumb up your nose. You thought I was going to say something else, did you?
Hoping not, though. Even this is an evening show.
This is an evening show. All right, I got to scroll this down here just a little bit. There we go. All right, so we're going to get it August 1st. Smith Wigglesworth. Look at that. I said it. And I'm really enjoying Mr. Wigglesworth. He's been pretty awesome. The reference is Romans 14:16. Do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Scripture reading is Romans 14. We recognize the Holy Spirit, but we recognize first the Spirit giving us life, saving us from every form of evil power, transforming our human nature until it is in divine order. Then, in that divine order, we will see that the Lord of hosts can very beautifully arrange the life until we live in the Spirit and are not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. When the Holy Spirit is perfectly in charge, he lifts and lightens and unveils the truth in a new way until we grasp it. Oh, how wonderful it would be if every one of us would possess the word in our hearts. Do not let your good be spoken of as evil. I know we all want to be good. It is not a wrong thing to desire that our goodness be appreciated, but we must watch ourselves because it is an evil day, although it is the day of salvation, and we must understand these days that the Lord wants to chasten and bring a people right into a full tide position. I believe that it is just as possible for God to sweep a group of believers right into glory before the rapture as during the rapture. It is possible for you to be taken even if others are left. May God give us a very keen inward discerning of our heart's purity. We want to go to heaven. It is far better for us to go, but it is far better for the church that we stay. Paul realized the following truth: to depart, to be with Christ is far better. Then there is another side to it. Believing that God made us for the proclamation of the gospel, for the building of the church, we would say, Lord, for the purpose of being a further blessing for your sake and for the sake of the church, just keep us full of life to stay. We do not want to be full of disease, but we want to be full of life. May the Lord grant to us right now a living faith to believe. The thought for the day is we will have to be utterly slain if we want to know the resurrection power of Jesus. I can't help but think, Hedia.
Yes.
That this appears to have so much to do with what Pastor Jack Hibbs' message was today.
Lay it on us.
It's, I mean, we were, I wanted to wait to go into Pastor Jack's message at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. He came out like a man, I don't want to say possessed because that sounds really bad.
Full of life.
Full of life.
Full of the spirit.
And full of piss and vinegar, if I don't mind, if you don't mind me saying that. You do mind me saying that, don't you? To tell us that our sinful nature, the sinful nature of the world, of the earth, mm-hmm. our flesh is
going to kill us.
Is going to kill us if we don't get some things under control. And we've allowed this world. And it's mostly because in some sense, we just thought, well, we'll just let the little tyrants have their little shenanigans and everything will be okay. Right. They're just going to do their little thing and then they'll fry in hell later on.
Good riddance. You know,
it's never really going to affect us, but pretty soon they just started to take hold of the media, of movies, of social media, of our schools, of universities. And now it's like, oh my gosh, we've allowed this to happen. Right.
Yes.
The vaccine is God. That's the only vaccine we need to look to. And we may be a little late.
We may be a little late.
And it's just, maybe it was just not in our control ever anyway.
Yes. There's that.
So we'll get a little bit into Jack's message, but that, as I was reading it, I was going, oh my gosh, this is just like an extension of what he talked about today. What do you get from the devotional if it's different from what?
I like that he says that we have to, okay, so the scripture about do not let your good be spoken of as evil is also speaking to hypocrisy and over-religiosity, where people get obsessed with the rules and they inflict that on other people and make people run away from the gospel. So it's always very important when you're witnessing to people, you're trying to bring them to Christ, that you don't make it all about rules mm-hmm. and the things that you cannot do, or even in the family of believers saying, you know, you can't eat pork, you can't eat shrimp. Like there's all these divisions in the family of God where people follow Old Testament laws. And in this passage, Paul is telling us, listen, whatever works for you, if you think you're doing it because God has asked you to, good for you, but don't inflict that on somebody else because God has made everything clean. So I love the fact that he emphasizes the importance of living in the spirit, dying to ourselves, because sometimes we do that just like out of pride. We want to be like, oh, look at me and look at all these amazing things I do. And you know what I mean? But the best is the thought for the day. You need to be slain. And Jack slayed us today.
Oh my gosh.
Folks, if you are weak at heart, this message was not for you today.
Do not bother.
I mean, I literally sat, I almost felt like I couldn't breathe for the whole car ride home. Like I
saw you kind of zoning out a couple times.
Yeah.
Today.
When he said chasten, yeah. Like, you know, the Lord, when Smith Wigglesworth says the Lord chastens us, mm-hmm. I felt like I literally felt like I was hit with a belt. And it was, I don't know. It was very convicting. It was very convicting. I had all kinds of things because he talks about, yeah, this one part where he's telling you that God first warns you, you know, he gives everybody a sense of morality, that morality comes from God, whether you're a believer or not. And he says that God warns you and it's like, Hey, don't do that. That's going to hurt you. And you do it or you step towards it and you're like, wait, nothing happened. Mm. And like you step towards it again. And he's like, and then the third time God stops speaking. And there you are stuck in a sin. And you're just like, how did I get here? And it's just very, very convicting. For me, it was about my own life and about my child rearing. And it's just, it was deep.
Yeah. Was deep. Carol says down here that people are starving for the truth, whether they know it or not.
Yes.
The truth has escaped them and now they're lost. They're like, they're.
Well, because everyone's telling them there is no truth.
Right.
That truth is relative. The moral relativism that your truth is your own truth, and thereby there is no truth. And he gave these really great practical examples of, yes or no, there are truths. There are moral truths. Why do we not drive 100 in a school zone? Why is child pornography illegal? Because there are some truths. There are some things that we consider to be right and wrong. And for a certain period of time, everybody agrees. And then there's people like our governor who's like, let's not register sex offenders who molest children. And pass the law, apparently.
What starts all this is not arresting people for petty theft. And let's increase it from $450 to $950, thinking that none of that makes any sense whatsoever.
No, it's arbitrary.
It's only to cause chaos.
Yes.
And they know what they're doing, and they're pretending that everybody else is stupid, which they're unfortunately, there are a bunch of people that just don't.
Stupid or lazy? I don't know if people are,
Yeah. I vote stupid.
I just think people are lazy. You remember a time when you were lazy?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you weren't stupid. You just were lazy. You didn't care. You didn't think it was your problem to solve.
Right.
You know, even though it's your kids, your family, your life, your city, you're like, oh, somebody else is going to deal with it.
Right. I never attended I've had children. My oldest is 26.
Right.
I never attended a school board meeting until this year. So however many years that is, I was so lazy that I did not go to a school board meeting. Yeah. And now we're
playing catch up. Fighting against 95-5, the odds are horrible. And you sit there and you're just like, wow, this is, we're going to hell in a handbasket right now.
Yeah, and I posted Jack's post from yesterday, which was the flyer that he showed at church today. And I reposted it yesterday about, you don't need your parents' consent to do any of these things. Go seek an abortion, buy condoms. All the things that we're going to show you, there is a little QR code, which every kid knows how to use to get, help on how to understand how they can get condoms and birth control and
tested
get abortion,
HIV.
Get tested for HIV without having to tell your parents. It was right there on the flyer.
Yes.
That they're handing out to school age children. Just a craziness. There's a, I went and looked up the question, what does let not your good be spoken of as evil? And you are so spot on.
Wow, look at that.
In this verse, Paul was telling Christians that even though these laws no longer apply to them, they should show consideration for others who were not yet aware of this new freedom. If they were eating in the presence of another who still practiced these dietary restrictions, even if that person was a Christian, they should refrain from eating foods that the other person would regard as unclean.
So like when we went to my friend Mariama's house,
yes.
I texted her first. I was like, do you mind pork? Because if she still doesn't eat it, I'm not going to bring it to the house and risk offending her because she still does not eat it. You know what I mean? So it's just really important for us not to judge other people, whether they abide by these standards or not, but also just not to be self-righteous about it.
Right. Well, it's hard for me to understand what that meant because being good was good. But not let not your good be spoken of as evil. There are some other things that I'm going to see how I can bring these up. There are things that as we change in circumstances, sometimes we can be a little bit full of ourselves, even as Christians. Like,
sure, of course. That's why people think we think we're hypocrites.
Hypocrites.
Yeah.
But this happens in a lot of different things. In financial status, say at one point you had nothing, and then you get you start working hard and you get some stuff, and now you're all full of yourself.
All right.
Like we talked about the people will say I say I'm going to get in my truck or I'm going to get in the car. Where other people who want to make sure that people know that they have a BMW say I'm going to go get in my BMW. I'm going to go get in my Porsche.
Right.
And when you're talking to people like, why? It's a car. Like, why do you just say car? It's kind of that same thing, right? Am I wrong? Like, where are you?
Well, but Christians do the same thing about whether it's I'm going to pray now. Like, did you really need to tell me you're going to go pray? I mean, could you just tell me you call me later? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Christians do the same thing about worship.
Right.
Or, I have to read my Bible now. This is my Bible reading time. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't know.
There's things and
don't let your good be talked about as evil.
Right. But there's opportunity you got to be careful on how you're doing it. Are you doing it to be boasting?
Right.
To be forcing yourself and your faith on forcing? Or like when we're eating dinner in a restaurant, we pray.
Yes.
Right. That's just a natural thing that we do. And we've had people, waitresses comment on saying, oh my gosh, it's so nice to see people praying before they eat. and other people, you know, I'm sure sitting around sees that happening. We're not doing it to show. We're doing it because we want to give God, you know, the glory for being able to afford to eat out at a restaurant.
Yes.
To be able to have the food and to thank the people that prepared it and all that kind of stuff. That's different than going, okay, folks, we're going to pray now. Could you all be quiet? We're going to pray. Like, you don't want to do that either, right?
No.
I thought about doing that today.
Did you?
No.
But that would have been very cute.
Who wants to join us? I actually thought about that. Like, you guys want to join us? Like, where is it? But I never do. I wouldn't do that. What else about Wigglesworth today? What else is in
Can
here?
Can we read the scriptures?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay, so he references 14:16. Romans 14:16. It's 16.
Sorry about that. Or is it the next one? Oh, here it is. Sorry.
No, that's 5:16. I wanted to read Romans 14, but the What's font's big. Yeah. Okay. Can you just leave it there?
Yep.
Okay.
I can do that.
Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. Okay. That's the entire verse that we've been talking about. And Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And this is something that Wigglesworth keeps saying, is that, you know, walk in the Spirit, so that you don't. And I beg to say that the desires of the flesh are not just following lust, which, of course, that's what we want to do, is to be in the Spirit so we do not follow our lust, but also the need to brag or to boast, or all these other things that are also fleshly desires, that if we're in the Spirit, then we won't need to tell people what kind of car we drive, or, you know, oh, I just bought this today, or I went and bought that today. Like, it's just, you are controlled by the Spirit to watch the things you say to other people so that you're not making them feel bad, or whatever else it could be that they would take as an impression from what you just said. You know what I mean?
So it's reminding me of some things we have to do with the kids sometimes, because sometimes, and I am really working hard. This is really seems to come up a lot lately, where you'll say, gosh, I really like cherry pie. And they'll, oh, that's so horrible. And I say, well, why do you do that? Right. So, you know, whatever it is, I can't think of one particular thing right now. I said, what you're doing by doing that is making that person feel like their taste buds are wrong and that what they like is wrong. Just because you don't like it.
Yeah, see, you're very sensitive to that.
Yeah, I am. It's just like, why do you make people feel bad? Oh, but it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to say that I know what tastes good. You obviously don't know what tastes good. You obviously don't know what good food is.
You don't think it's just maybe just a comment that I don't like that?
No, because I do it all the time. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I hate it.
It's a pet peeve of Andrew's. You like you can't even make a face about something.
Oh no, you could say, oh, I say, oh, well, that, you know, you could say something like, oh, you like cherry pie? You know, I've never really got a taste for that. But you know what I like is blueberry. Isn't that a better conversation than going? I mean, but it's like so over exaggerated, like, oh wow, how can you? Because I like it. That's just what I grew up on. It'd be my like doing that when you said brought up any kind of Persian food.
Yeah,
like, how would we would have got along if you would have said, I like, what's the name of the rice?
But we're grown-ups.
We would never have made it.
I get you.
Never would have made it. So
Philippians. He takes this very seriously, folks. I'm just going to let it go. Okay. Philippians 1:23-24. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. And it's interesting that Smith Wigglesworth says this, that, you know, we all dream of the rapture and think about, oh, how great it would be to depart from this world. But as Carol says, people are starving for the truth. Mm. We've got work to do here. And as long as we're here, we should make it worthwhile.
Yep. Absolutely. Danielle says a love of money, too.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I really liked? And this, when you were talking about, you know, just the sense of, people with money or with stuff, without stuff, that are just, you know, that are just every day is just they're not poor and they're not rich.
Yes. Right?
And then we have people that are, you know, struggling every day to make the ends meet. And I don't know what was going on with Friday, who's who in the zoo and that kind of stuff. But
who's who in the zoo?
Yeah. It was great. It was nothing.
Irrelevant.
It was irrelevant. It was people who love Christ.
Yes.
Getting together and worshiping and enjoying the presence of God in that home with one another.
Yes.
That's what this is for me. This is what this is all about.
Absolutely.
Carol says,
rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. Ben Franklin. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Ben Franklin said that?
Who knew?
Thank you, Carol. Man, that Ben was a pretty smart dude.
Yes.
Who would have thought to put a key on the end of a string and put it and fly the kite?
Ben did.
Smart dude. I would have gotten burnt. I would have fried.
Well, I think he probably hurt himself a couple of times.
Yeah.
No joke.
In the early days of me training police dogs, I used to get hurt.
I can imagine.
And then I learned. I ended up in the hospital a couple of times.
I can imagine. You never sawed yourself in half during the magic.
Oh, during the magic thing? I burnt myself a couple of times.
Did you?
Yeah, okay. Using flash paper. I did until I learned. Anyway, you learn how to do those kinds of things. So anything else on the devotional before we venture onto something else?
No, we're venturing onto something else.
Even though I ventured onto some other things anyway. Okay. No, but it's all the same thing. Because let me just go back to the food thing with the kids. That could be with other stuff too.
You want to get me to where you are, but
yes,
I'm not.
But it goes into other things too. Like, I go to El Dorado. Oh, why would you go to El Dorado? I would go to Yorba Linda. See, it goes to everything. It's a bad habit to have a reaction to something that somebody else is doing that maybe you don't do or wouldn't do or have an opinion about. It's okay to have an opinion,
but don't have
the reaction of, oh my, why would you do that? Like, why would you?
I get what you're saying.
Yes.
And to me, that is a standard to live up to. But to me, it's just expressing opinion. Nah, I think that just
that's not
they kids need to be being animated.
Not to they need and, to be taught not to do that.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to keep saying that to me, but it's not going to change my opinion.
Thomas Jefferson wanted that as our government motto. Oh.
Oh, look at that.
Look at Carol. So full of info.
Wisdom.
I love that. So...
What was the other thing you wanted to go into?
Well, I wanted to talk about the message from Jack Gibbs, Pastor Jack Gibbs over Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And that is, there's so much that I think you have a better handle on what all the overall message was and some of the examples. You'll remind me of some of the stuff. But what I thought was how he started about Larry Elders.
Yes.
And that he said, you know what, I got to talk about this first. And this is that, you know, CNN and Fox and
Breitbart and The Blaze
are all saying Jack Gibbs is,
endorsing
Larry Elder. And they were saying it like I'm supposed to be like, I'm not supposed to be doing that. like there's something wrong, like I'm supposed to be apologizing or something.
Right.
And he goes, well, the truth is I am. And then he laid out the reasons why. And he said, there's a lot of other good people out there that are running, which is probably, which is true. There are. I know a couple of people that I've looked at that look like they're pretty good. Yes. But I don't even know who they are.
Do they have name recognition? Do they have a chance of winning?
Right.
Do they have the backing? All kinds of history.
Yeah. I mean, it was just so like you're
going to. Fundraising abilities.
You want to support the person who's going to win.
Yes.
Number one. There's some other things that go along with if, the vote's taken, they're going to move votes to the person who's in the lead.
Yes.
I don't know how all that works. I can't even describe it. But
yeah,
she always calls when I'm busy, both times.
We'll call her back.
Sorry, Ray. I love the fact that he did that. Now, the other side of it is that there's many people who don't like that he does that. Like many Christians that don't like that he does
many
that.
Many Christians.
What are your thoughts on him doing that? I mean, one of the reasons I go is because he does bring politics into the faith,
yes.
Which is extremely important. And I agree with him. I was looking for a place that would do that. Who knew that it was right around the corner? And then I found it. And so I was looking for somebody that cared about local issues, state issues, and worldwide issues. And Jack is the guy that does that.
Again, I love the way Pastor Mark Driscoll says, open hand, closed hand. What do we put in the mystery box? Open hand, closed hand. He says, what things of faith are in a closed hand, meaning non-negotiable?
Mm.
What things in a faith are in an open hand? What are the things that we should not allow to divide us in the body of Christ? And that to me is one of them. He is to our liking. We are huge fans of Pastor Jack and we like his methodology. And that's why we go there. Mm. But if people feel like that's not their calling, that's not what they need to be fed, then so be it. I would never use it as a reason to not be friends with somebody or to decide that I can't associate with you because you don't like politics in the pulpit.
Mm.
I mean, that's just the way they choose to learn. And I respect those differences.
Right.
And we're just lucky that our pastor who has that viewpoint happens to be around the corner.
So what were some of, what were a couple of your takeaways from the actual message?
Convicting us, he just talked a lot about, so we're in passages when Romans 1, 24 to 32. And I really encourage you to read these passages because one, for one reason, a lot of times, what I will, for lack of a better expression, they call themselves this, the gay church. I actually think their website's thegaychurch.com or something, where they believe that the Bible does not prohibit homosexuality. There are certain scriptures that they refer to, but it's not this one in Romans 24 to 32, which is very explicit about women going to women for unnatural relationships and men going to men for unnatural relationships, given over to a debased mind, that the Lord will eventually give them over to a debased mind. Mm-hmm. And he's quite explicit. The Lord is quite explicit about it. And so Jack's been kind of hammering this point week after week, saying, I don't hate gay people. It's a sin like any other sin. If that's the sin you struggle with, fight it. You fight it the same as you would fight against adultery or pornography or any other sin. And if you don't fight it, the Lord will give you up to a debased mind and all kinds of wickedness will follow.
I love the examples that the examples that he uses is always one of my favorite parts of his message when he uses science to make his point.
T4 cell.
Yeah. Can you explain it? I just liked it, but I can't explain it.
So the T4 cell is the body's natural immune cells that fight off infections or foreign invaders into the body. And so he put up this beautiful picture of what it looks like. And he says, these cells run across your body in your system looking for foreign invaders. And when it sees them, it attacks them. That's how your immune system functions. Immune compromised system is when these cells get attacked by a foreign body and are destroyed. Hmm. And so he gave us a scientific fact. Of course, I haven't verified it, but we just assume that it's correct. That two men have sexual, so when a woman has sexual relations with a man, his protein gets deposited in her. And it will stay there for up to 7 years. This I've actually heard before. Hmm. So every successive woman that, every successive man that she's with, those proteins will stay there as well until they leave the body within 7 years. These cells, these T4 cells, will fight it off. The problem, when a male's sperm hits a male, it actually mimics the T4 of the, let's call it the host male. And what it does is it comes up to that T4 of a male of the host and pretends it's the same cell and then attacks it. And it says the average life expectancy of a homosexual male, a career homosexual male, is 47 because of this immune compromise that occurs between these defense proteins. It's amazing.
Fascinating.
Miraculous that the human body does this, that God created the human body to do this and to demonstrate that it is not God's will for that to happen.
You did a great job of explaining
that. Did I?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would have.
Thank you.
I would not have. I would have to use Legos or something.
See, and a hammer. Lego.
That was good. That was good. I put the link to today's message on YouTube in the chat. So you should see it there so you can watch it. I would watch it again, but if you're sensitive and you're weak minded, it's probably not for you.
It's intense, folks.
It is intense. It's good though. It's important. It's an important message. It needs to be heard. There was one more. The graphic was good too. I almost forgot about that. He shows a video of it, the protein attacking the other T cell.
T4 cell. Yes.
T4 cell. Already forgot. And the graphic of it.
Yeah.
How they captured
one's
that.
Blue and then the attacking cell is red and it's like eating this other cell.
It's destroying it.
Yeah, destroying it. And which he said was also what HIV was, is that it destroys the immune system so that you end up dying from pneumonia or a flu.
Yeah. The one that I the other one I liked is when he was talking about that, you know, when you are committing a sin, the Holy Spirit's telling you, you know, don't do that. and this is not something you should be thinking, and then probably nothing you should be acting upon. And you go, well, nobody's watching, or I'll just do it this one time and we'll see what happens. And you do it, and the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do it. And you do it. The Holy Spirit goes, I told you not to do that. And he goes, now don't do it a second time. Don't do it again. And you're in that position again, maybe a week later, maybe a year later, maybe 2 years later. And you do it again. And the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do it. And you do it again and say, you should have done that. And maybe nothing happened. Maybe nothing. Maybe you got away with it again. And he goes, the third time you go and you do it.
You don't hear him tell you not to do it.
And there's nothing. There's silence.
And you could have heard a pin drop in the church. He's like, silence. And the church, the whole church was like,
wow.
I think there wasn't a person in that room that could not think of an instance in their life when they're like, I think I've done that.
Yes.
Yes.
And he allows you. Like, okay. I try to tell you. And then, you know, whatever is going to happen, jail, divorce, loss of relationship between you and your children, you know, the business just goes down in flames, whatever it is. That's the result of the silence, is that he was trying to tell you not to do that. And you just, you kept doing it, or you kept ignoring him. And then he just goes, okay, be my guest. He opens the door.
Yes.
And just walk through it. And
Exodus. And so he doesn't do it to you. He allows us to do it to ourselves. Mm. So important. Such an important difference, because people say, why would God be so mean and do that to you? He's not doing that to you. He's letting your free will reign. And that's the miraculous thing about faith in Jesus Christ, is it's about free will, is you surrendering your free will to him and constantly being renewed. And I tell you personally, because I came out of Islam, which is a very dogmatic religion. So everything you do is fear-based. It's very motivated by fear. And so you're constantly fearing that you're doing something wrong. So I have remnants of that, like that follows me, even though I'm renewed, I'm a new person in Christ, that mental, that trauma kind of follows me. And so it's very hard for me. I personally struggle with appreciating the finished work of the cross and grace that comes through faith with sin. Mm. And like realizing some things are a process, that the Lord is doing a work in me, and some things I really, I'm using my free will to do something I need to stop.
Right.
You know, to me, that's something I struggle with. Mm.
Carol brought up Exodus 9:1, and it says, then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. And that was in reference to when the Lord,
yes,
sent Moses to face the Pharaoh saying, let my people go. It was not a request. It was a command. Nice. There was, he brought up something about the Jews wandering the desert. The Jews wandering. What was this thing?
Well, he was, I love the story, the wilderness. If you haven't read the story, actually, I think most of it is in Exodus, the story of the Jews in the wilderness. It is hysterical to me because they're just... you know, they represent everything that's wrong with humanity, of all of us, you know? And he says that they were worried about being in the desert. I mean, in the wilderness. And they had no food. And the Lord was dropping manna, this like sweet bread, at their doorstep every day. Like literally, they didn't even have to worry about collecting it. It was literally at the door. And they said after a couple of weeks, they started to complain, a couple of weeks, months, and say, we want to go back to Egypt. And they're like, and Lord God's like, why? He's like, we miss onions. Well, onions and garlic and meat. Lord's like, meat? I'll give you meat. And apparently dropped like 5 tons of quail on top of them until they were like, quail was coming out of their noses. And so it was just, it's just indicative of, no matter how many blessings we have in this world, the flesh is so sinful that it's constantly drawn to more.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's literally something we have to control.
Yeah. It's easy for you to say.
No, not easy for me to say. I struggle with it every single day.
Amy, nice to see you.
Hi, Amy.
Nice to have you on here. Yeah, I don't know. Jack was on fire today. I just can't say enough about the different his facial expressions. He played the part of Eve. You know, he made that face like he has these mannerisms and things that he does, but they're so good to me because I need that. I'm like a child. I need a word book. Aww. I need a picture book. The words.
He's great at that.
But he's great at those examples that he gives today.
Just constantly teaching us. And he says, yes, that's exactly what Eve did because you can eat absolutely. And, you know, it makes me like I don't feel so bad now because Eve had literally everything. She was in the Garden of Eden and this one tree, the devil was able to be like, but those apples, those are the bomb. And she's like, okay. You know, like how could we feel bad? You know, we can't feel so bad because I mean, she was in heaven in paradise and she still wanted to do it, you know? So our sinful nature will constantly draw us into sin.
It reminds me also of where we were sitting today. We always sit in the front row, or we almost always sit in the front row. And today everybody was a little vocal. And it reminds me of people that there's certain scripture will come up or something. Go, yes, yes. You know, almost like how did Eve not? Of course she should not have eaten. I can't believe she ate the apple. Like they become so, you know, they become so holy. Like, you know what? If you were, you would have eaten the apple too. Just shut up and sit down.
I was telling him, Danielle, if you're still on, I was telling Andy, I was like, see, I used to belong to this other church, Elevation, and their responses to the pastor are like a finely tuned orchestra. Like he talks and they're like, come on, come on. I mean, like, it's literally like a play. Yeah. And he's wondering, like, wow. I mean, like, they're perfectly timed to when he says something. It's as if it's coached, but I know I've been there a bunch of times and it's not. But our church is almost like people with no rhythm. Like where they clap like, and they're like offbeat.
Yeah, like white people dancing on Soul Train.
Exactly. So
like, you don't know.
Just don't do it. And so Jack's talking. They're like, oh, wow. And I'm like, wait, that's so badly timed. Like, that's not the time.
Or they laugh at things that aren't that be laughed at. Like that. He didn't say anything yet to be funny.
Yeah.
He's setting up the story. And you're laughing before he even does the setup.
Yeah. So it's a little, we were, the audience was animated today until he got to the whole sin conviction thing. Well, and then you could have heard a pin drop.
Yeah. It was silence. It was perfect. It just like, it caused you to take a breath.
Yes.
Like
many deep breaths.
Dang.
Yeah.
He's talking about me in 1995. I remember that day I heard nothing and I went and I did it and I shouldn't have done it. Whatever that was in 1995. I'm not going to think.
I heard it a couple weeks ago.
What? What? Is that when you got, where does that chocolate go? Is that when you got the chocolate from your what's his name? What's
trainer.
Your trainer?
No.
Your physical trainer gave you a little chocolate and you accepted the gift, like the apple?
Really?
Yes.
My trainer that's on the other side of the
track. Yeah, she said, I'm married. I can't accept
this. He said, I gave it to you and Andy. And he did.
Or the physical therapist.
We're going back to the physical trainer. For those of you who did not, experience that, you're lucky.
Use me as the yoga ball. Could you wrap your legs around me like a yoga ball and you go okay.
Anyways,
squeeze. I'm going, okay, explain to me that he's sitting between your legs and having you Barb do City, what?
It's not like that. That's not what I'm referring to.
The physical therapist. I guess it's okay. Oh my gosh, that was funny though. I'm glad that's over with.
I will retaliate when least expected. And I will do it in public. You all will be witness. But see, I'm not good at like on the cuff kind of things. I need to think about them. They'll come later.
But it's because there's not a lot. There's not a lot to choose. I mean,
okay.
Yeah. There's...
So what else?
Really?
Moving on to Wigglesworth.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, see, Danielle's commenting about our church. Wow, so good. So good. Wow. Yes. But they're so well timed.
Yeah, they're good at it.
But
it still makes me laugh because they're just like, they are.
You're not used to it.
No. And I go, well, they know how to do it.
It's like a choir.
It's like The Voice. I love The Voice. My kids and I used to watch The Voice all the time. I haven't seen it now for a couple of years. Is this still on The Voice?
I think so.
I don't know. When the singer would ask people to clap, like at the moment they'd be on time. And then all of a sudden you hear like a couple like claps in the half beat and then in the quarter beat. And then it's like, I can't even hear the person sing because I'm so busy listening to this clapping. That's just not on point.
Exactly like that.
Gosh darn it. See, Daniel thinks
she's laughing. It's
pretty funny. Anything else on today's message with Jack? It was, so much. There's almost too many things that he talked about today.
I think we covered all of them, or a lot of them.
I think the most telling thing as he's gone through Romans for me, in the days that he's gone through Romans, because we've had things happening in between. I'm always like walking away going, oh my gosh, the Bible is so
relevant, like,
current.
2100 years ago.
You could have written everything that he had written, that he read, could have been written today and would have been spot on. You think that you're reading the newspaper.
It's extraordinary.
The newspaper. You know what that is? It used to get delivered and thrown on your driveway.
Yes.
But it's almost like you're reading a news story from today.
It's extraordinary.
And we talked about this on the way home too, where I try to think back when the scripture that you read today was talking about all the debauchery, all the stuff, right? And the trouble with pornography and how easily available, you know, sexual, you know, references and things are for the
and
children.
And how traumatizing it is.
And how traumatizing it is for children. And I think back to the 60s and 70s. I was born in 62. So I had, you know, all the way through the 60s and then the 70s. And I think, you know, there was the Playboys were around and that kind of stuff. But you had to look for it. Like you had to actively go out and seek it. Where today you can't avoid it.
Right.
If the kids have a phone or a tablet or a, you know, an iPad or whatever, or a computer.
Adults,
you know, you can't open Instagram without something popping up at some point, a TikTok or whatever. It's now where it used to be hard to find. It's now unavoidable. And that is what we are fighting against. And it's so difficult as parents to do that on a daily basis, you know, radio stations and songs and that kind of stuff. And it's almost hard. And we were doing this the other day. I was trying to find, there's a couple songs that are pretty decent songs that the beat is good and that kind of stuff. But I'm always looking for the clean version. And it's almost difficult to find the clean version.
Right.
And to play it. It took me 5 attempts to find the clean version of that Justin Bieber song. It still had the F word in it. I'm going, Cap, it has said clean version. How does it still have the F word?
Yeah.
Like, it's so hard. It should be harder the other way around, you know, but it's not. And so what he spoke about today, so for those of you who have young children, I think today's message is an important one for you to watch and to really take to heart and change some of the things that are going on. Being involved in the school again is so important. I know I bring that up like a broken record, but it's just like, we still don't see enough people. We have, you know, we're going and we went together on the last one, but they had so many empty chairs. They assumed that there was going to be an overflow of people. They had the police there because they thought something was going to happen. And yet there's still there, although there may have been 45 to 50 people, which is probably 45 to 50 more people than they normally would have had on a yes. regular school board meeting, but it's still not enough. More people need to be going to those types of things. Whether your child goes to school in the school district, your grandchild goes to school, or you're an aunt and uncle of a child that does, you should go there to show them that you care is why you should go. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it.
No, we got pokey. We're gonna eat a little pokey.
Yes.
Oh, have you got? Should we talk about the show we're watching? Ted Lasso.
Good show, folks.
That's a pretty good show.
Clean.
It's
funny.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they use foul language.
Oh no, but I mean, like the topic isn't about.
Yeah.
It's a gay couple, and then it's a
yes.
promiscuous couple.
I've been waiting for that.
Right.
And the first season.
First season didn't have it.
Yes.
But it's just honestly, what I really like about it is he. Is so such a good-natured, good humored person that I literally get a positive like idea every time I mm-hmm. watch it. In other words, like the way he responds to conflict and negativity is so cool that it inspires me for what I could do when I'm in that same situation. Mm-hmm. Like he always responds with kindness. And one thing that I want to point out I told Andy, which I love, is the power of forgiveness and the power the healing power of saying you're sorry to someone and accepting somebody's apology. So there's a couple of instances where there were quite dramatic problems, and he either said, "I'm sorry," like he would come the next day. He was kind of rude to a coworker, and he's like, "I was really rude to you yesterday, and I apologize for that." And it just, you see the person go, like, yeah, melt, you know. And it's just so beautiful when you realize it costs you nothing, but it's so hard for people to just say they're sorry. You know, it's something the Lord reminds me of constantly, especially with my daughter, is that it was often very hard for me to apologize. If she called me out, I always wanted to rebut it and say, "But you did X." And the Lord's constantly telling me, apologize for what you did to hurt her. You could bring up your life lesson later, but if she's right, apologize. You know what I mean? And how the power of that forgiveness is so valuable in our lives. So I love how he does that with such finesse.
Yep. So there's so many good aspects of the show. You got to understand that anything out of Hollywood is going to have a little touch of wokeness in there at some point. It's going to be in there. And I think he said God, and he referenced God being the she. You know, that was the first time I heard that.
And he also doesn't believe in God. He says, "What God and what language? Might as well cross your fingers." So it's definitely not a God thing.
Yeah, it's not it's not the chosen.
No.
I forget the chosen.
Amy Feltz, the show's Ted Lasso. It's up for 20 Emmy Awards.
Yeah, Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
It's on Apple TV. If you don't have Apple TV, then that's probably if you're not finding it. But, you know, Carl seems to like it too. He loves the coaching and positivity. Yeah, yes. It really is a good show.
In a world filled with negativity.
What I like, though, is that in the foul language, which again, I'm not opposed to by no means, but I try not to do it around the kids as much, but it's real life. Like they want to, you know, one of the things they rail on President Trump about, and sorry about the shirt, I'm not sorry about the shirt, but I've been trying to be more plain on my show.
Oh.
And I didn't realize I was wearing the show until I got on. And not apologizing necessarily. I'm just saying, normally, I've been trying to not take away from the message by having something like this on. But one thing is about how he talked prior to being president, you know, like locker room talk about saying stuff like and calling somebody a wanker, or, you know, it's in England. It's an American coach, football coach. Our type of football, throwing the ball, kicking the ball, that type of thing, who gets put in a position to be a soccer coach, which in the UK is football, right? And so there's a whole longer story to it. She did it to get back at her ex-husband. Anyway, so here's this football coach, an American, now coaching in England, and the language is pretty awesome in how they talk to each other. But the point I'm getting to is that's I think people have forgotten that's how we talk to each other as friends and things like that. Sometimes we'll call somebody an MF-er or a wanker or something like that. It's this thing that kind of has been lost. That people are like so caught up now, and that you can't have say a joke. You know, you can't say something about somebody's race in a funny way. Like, you know, some of the comedians
you
used to
eat your beans today.
Like I would say, you know why Mexicans don't barbecue? Because the beans fall through the grill.
Yeah.
And we used to think that was funny, but now you can't say that because now it's racist.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In this show, it brings you back to a time where, oh my gosh, it used to be so fun to make fun. I'd make fun of Carl because he's big and tall, and I'd have some big and tall joke. But I don't hate the guy. I'm not trying to put him down. It just would use some type of big and tall joke.
Right.
He's big and tall.
I hear you.
Right. You know, like us in the locker room, Carl remembers the locker room. Oh my gosh. If I told you anything that we talked about in the locker room, you would hate my guts, because the stuff we would say in the locker room about each other is horrendous.
I remember Bruce Lynn telling us at our wedding, I don't remember what we were talking, what kind of people we were talking about, but when we were walking down the hill, do you remember that? And he's like, "Oh yeah, we used to call him blank." And I can't remember what group it was. And I was like, "Oh wow, that's pretty dramatic."
They should just call me Mexican. Hey Mexican, bring me a tow truck form and fill it out. That's it. And I go, "Okay, I'll go get the tow truck for it." I never even Never even bothered me. Never even thought twice about it. That was called the Mexican all the time.
Carol wants to send you a shirt.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, Sons of Liberty instead of Sons of Trump. Locker room talk. Carol says, is the best fun. Andy was always cold. That was.
I can imagine. There's little remnants of that, Carl. There are little remnants.
When the camera turns off.
Yes.
Yes. But, you know, I mean, just you can imagine that all these grown men are going in and taking a shower, and in a hockey rink, quite often they don't have hot water. And so there's, but you know what happens in cold water to men?
I think I do.
Yeah. It's not pretty.
It's kind of like the whole urinal story.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I got a little tutorial about urinals. It was fascinating. I never knew what happened at urinals and men's bathrooms.
I had to explain to her that men stand shoulder to shoulder going pee together.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a little barrier. Repulsive. At a church, there's a barrier. And you can talk to each other and say, hey, what's up? And you say, I don't know, but the water's deep. And then they'd say it's cold too, or something like that. And then at the Forum in LA, where the Kings used to play, the Los Angeles Kings, it's a hockey team,
yes,
would play in the Forum, there was a trough. And it was like a horse trough with no barriers. And you would all stand literally shoulder to shoulder. You would have the person touching
that's
you.
Just
and you're in your peeing and you're laughing and you're joking around and right. Other things are happening while you're peeing. You know, other things start going, coming out.
Okay,
at the same
thank
time.
You.
Yeah.
I was trying to be vague.
Yeah, but that's the world. I mean,
Carol.
But see,
yeah, wait, Carol. Yeah. You're saying, "Oh my God, did you know this?" Because I did not. I mean, like, you see some of it in movies, but I had no idea these kind of shenanigans take place in men's bathrooms. But when you say, "Oh my God," is it because you did not know that, or the fact that Andy's talking about it?
In Dodger Stadium, it wasn't a trough. Like I said, the Forum had this metal trough. It was long. It was like the size of this room.
Well, no. And then he says that sometimes it was so low that it would splash.
At Dodger Stadium, it was the floor. And then there was like this little divot with a little drain in it. And you would be, and then again, you're all standing next to each other. The worst thing is wearing flip-flops.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Carol's horrified that you're talking about it. Now that she didn't know. Sorry.
But the world, it has gotten so serious.
It has gotten so serious.
And you, I mean, locker room talk and joking around with your friends and, you know, making reference to who they are, you know, their ethnicity and stuff like that in a fun way. It was not, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how bad it's gotten.
Yeah.
So back to Ted Lasso. Yes. That's what I love about the show is it kind of takes you back like, oh, I wish it was like that again.
To a time.
No wonder. And again, it has all these Emmys. So there's I'm not the only one
who
likes the show that thinks it's really fun. Yeah. Flip flops. Yeah. Carl knows. Because the worst thing is you can feel like the rain hitting your feet. And then, but what's worse is when you stop peeing and you still feel it raining on your feet.
And my brother had a phobia of men's bathrooms, and I never could understand why. Like, he literally would never go to bathroom in a public restroom. And now that makes me much more aware.
Hmm. Well, you share with me the hole that you guys in.
Yeah, well, in Middle Eastern countries, there are no toilets. It's literally just a hole in the ground.
And then you'd use what? A rock?
And sometimes you'd have rocks.
Instead of toilet paper.
Yes. Oh.
So that's not that much.
No, that's a balancing act. Yeah. When you're in there alone. You're in there alone. There's not other people. It's not like five holes.
You don't pass around the rock?
No.
Hey, you gotta,
modesty is a very important thing in Islam. So there were stalls. There were stalls.
You'll say, hey, I don't have any rocks over here. You got an extra rock?
No. Can't pass it through.
So what do you have to go around gathering rocks before you go to the bathroom?
No, there's a little
bucket. Everybody knows, like, oh, I see she's picking up rocks.
There's a little bucket there. But what's going through your mind is that are the rocks clean in that bucket?
Right.
Yeah. My brother would come out and be like, I am not going in there because I don't know if those rocks are clean. I don't know, and I'm not going to do that.
It's like the COVID pins. They have the clean pins and the dirty pins.
Yeah.
I always put my dirty pin in the clean pin.
What's wrong with you?
No, I know.
We would take toilet paper with us. We always carry tissue with us because we did not want to deal with the whole rock controversy.
But how do you use a rock? It makes no sense. All you're doing is
what are you talking
you're
about?
Doing nothing.
It's the same thing as paper.
There's no. It's not. porous.
Does it need to be porous? Why does it need to be porous?
Do I really?
It's a surface. It wipes. And then you take another one.
Are they like smooth river rocks or yes. Are they rough like granite? Like
they're usually smooth because you're not supposed to be ripping your hindsight right, with them. Sorry, folks. It's not what you expected today. It's 7:45. We're a little punchy. Now that I know about this, about Amy says, now that I know this about men's room, I'm definitely not changing my gender. Oh my goodness. No, actually I was in a restaurant with my cousin and our three girls.
Can you spare a rock?
And it was, it was very educational. And it was a unisex bathroom and it had multiple stalls. So it had a urinal and a stall. And so meaning more than one person can go inside at one time. And my cousin came out and she says, we can't let the kids go in there. Like we literally stood guard at the outside of the door because that means while a child is in a stall, one of our girls was in a stall, a man could be at the urinal. Like that's horrific. Like, can you imagine a child the child's never seen one, or just the interaction between a grown man and an 11-year-old coming out of a bathroom and he's using the restroom in a urinal. It's not even in a stall. And so it's just this whole wokeness, unisex, there are no genders thing is just crazy and out of control.
It is stupid. They should have just left alone. Men's rooms.
Well, I mean, if they're not leaving alone sports, men are playing in women's sports, and how could they leave alone the bathroom?
No, at least Amy's says this is a very educational show.
That's kind of her.
She could have gotten rid of that.
That's because she's just such a fan of yours. She lets us get away with things. What did Carl say?
Oh, you have to read it.
Years ago, a guy at work accidentally urinated in a foot bath at the at the local Islam center, thinking it was a urinal. We were doing security there. After 9/11. Oh my goodness. I could totally see that, Carl. You know why? Because the way he described them reminds me of what our foot baths look like, because in an Islamic center, that's what they have lined up. Oh my God. That's what they have lined up. That's the only thing. So you can't go to the restroom. Men in an Islamic center, there would not be men urinating lined up. They would go into a stall. But the foot bath, they'd be exactly like you described at Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. So I could see a police officer going in there thinking that was the urinal.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that wouldn't be possible. Like at the Forum, when I went and saw Queen at the Forum.
Yeah.
You go, you got a beer in your hand. And so you gotta unzip and go. I mean, I couldn't carry the urinal with me. What would I do with my beer?
Carry the urinal?
Yeah, you said you had to carry it. Like you had to take your... No?
Oh, you mean the rocks.
Rocks, sorry.
You wouldn't be going into it with a beer, for one.
You're juggling your beer and your rocks and trying to go into the... It's impossible.
No, I mean, it's just like having toilet paper in your hand. What do you do when you get into the bathroom? Once you have your toilet paper, you got to put the beer down at some point.
I just don't understand the rocks. I mean, I've been camping a lot, and I would use a leaf. I would never use a rock.
What's the difference with a leaf and a rock?
Because it's pliable and it's like you can use your.
I'm gonna literally go out outside in our rocks. Show me. I'll show you. Not on myself, but I'm gonna get some rocks and I'm gonna have you try it out. It's really not that complicated. We'll save this for another day.
Oh my gosh.
Pokey's waiting.
You obviously didn't have a girlfriend to hold your beer. Well, that's true. Yeah. You just didn't want to leave the beer behind because you never knew what your friends
God
were
going to
do.
God forbid you left the beer behind.
Well, you can't leave. Listen, there is a lot going on at the Queen concert or the Oingo Boingo concert or the Devo concert.
Can we pull this back to just to Pastor Smith? Is there any way of recovering this at this point? Folks, is there any recovery at this point? I tell people we do a very real show about the practical life of a cop and a former FBI analyst doing like Jesus life stuff.
Yeah.
Now We don't pretend to be Bible scholars.
But I think it's important to understand the difference between Islam and Christians, that we do bathrooms different even.
Oh, I think most people know that.
Oh, really? No.
I mean, you're the guy who thinks that we ride camels in Iran and eat falafel. So maybe for you, it's a little less obvious. And apparently this cop at the Islamic Center who thought the foot bath was a urinal. I used to do cultural sensitivity training, so I'm well aware of all the nutty things that could happen.
The shenanigans. All right, Carol, I'll send you my address. I'm looking forward to seeing that t-shirt. That'd be awesome. Yes. I kept extra bath tissue. Tissues in my pocket at all time, at all rallies.
Yes.
That's one thing I've not been able to go to a rally yet, but I see all these people, and I think about all the time is like, where are they going to the bathroom? Are they wearing diapers? No. I think that's the one time I might have to wear.
No, me and Zara have an expression. We say it's time for astronaut training.
What's that mean?
You don't go to the bathroom. Like, my daughter's like an astronaut. She can go 12 hours without going to the bathroom. You don't drink before you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to like buckle down. We used to do that. Me and my brother used to do that before we would go on these road trips in these godforsaken places, because you knew you didn't go to, there was not a bathroom you wanted to get anywhere near. So you'd just be like, no eating, no drinking before we leave, nothing in the car, just for that reason.
On stakeouts, when I was a detective, we'd bring plenty of empty little sparkling bottles.
Because God forbid you didn't eat and drink while you were sitting there.
You got to eat and drink. You got to have your coffee.
Doritos.
You got to have your Doritos and your sunflower seeds. Oh my gosh, my tongue would be so hurting after a stakeout. You got to go through two bags of sunflower seeds.
Oh no.
And you have to drink so much water, and then you're having to get that empty bottle. Okay.
Thanks, folks. I can't believe everybody's not gone. I think they're horrified and amused at the same time.
Well, you're on a 12, 14 hour stakeout. I mean, you're stuck in that car with this guy that you probably don't really like that much.
Oh, right.
Sometimes. Now, I mean, if you're watching, I loved all the guys I worked with and went on stakeouts with.
Fantastic.
But on occasion, you'd be with somebody that's like, really, dude? You don't have any other better stories than that? Because you've heard every story so far. Like, this one time at band camp, no, I don't want to hear the band camp story again. Make better choices.
Bush works.
Well, not on a stakeout. You know, sometimes, like, we were in like the middle of LA, you know, and the safety of being in that car with your weapons was the only place you wanted to be. You didn't take any chances of leaving that car.
Right.
South Central LA. There was going popo and yelling out. Okay, so there we go. Anything else?
Thank you, folks. No, we just hold on. I need to bring us back.
Oh,
I need to bring us back to Wigglesworth.
I tell you how much I love you. Is this not? We have to say how great God is.
God is so good.
In that we do this all sober, and that He brought two people together that could have this kind of fun and conversation and still love each other.
For now.
You know all the bad secrets. There's nothing.
This is what I want to leave you with, okay, folks. Good. We do not want to be full of disease, but we want to be full of life. May the Lord grant us right now a living faith to believe.
Absolutely.
We are all a work in progress.
But no kidding. Let's see the last couple comments. 50-mile hike, a bush. Amen. All right. We love you guys so much. Thank you for putting up with us.
Yes. Thank you for sharing this evening with us. We love you.
With Hedia's stories. Just so.
Welcome to my world, folks.
We love you guys. God bless.
God bless you. Good night.
Take care.